We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Larry Parvin. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm good. Good. Good morning.
Amen.
Hope y'all are doing well.
Oh, yeah. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to the Facebook page. And we'll do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Barber Dyson Ford, located here in Elk City. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, I encourage you to reach out to Barber Dyson, located here in Elk. They can find you what you're looking for. I think I covered it all, sir.
Sounds good to me.
Would you please pray to start us out?
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for your grace, your mercy. Lord, you're an awesome, awesome, incredible God, and we're so undeserving. I just pray, Father, today that you would speak to our hearts, that, Lord, we would listen. You'd give us the ears to hear and the eyes to see, and then, Lord, the wisdom to put what we see to practice and realize, Lord, that you left us here for a purpose, not our purpose, but your purpose. And Lord, there's just a lot of folks around us today that are hurting physically, that need healing spiritually and emotionally, that Lord just need to see you in us as we take your word to the ends of the earth. But Lord, we just pray for a moving of your spirit. And Lord, we want to see people come to know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, we want to see people live for you and reach out and just be like your disciples that Luke tells us they turned the world upside down. May we be like that too, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning. There is joy in serving. Boy, yeah. Howdy, there is.
Are you a Christian today with no joy in your life? Do you know Christians like that? People in the church that go to church every Sunday say, I believe, and they never do nothing, but they're just always sad. They look like a bulldog baptized in persimmon juice. It's just, they're just never happy. They're always down, always something going on. They're, if we're not careful, I can get that way. And there's no need for us to be that way. But we're going to been talking about I've been studying the Philippians, and that joy is mentioned in that book 19 times, I think, but I still think the premise of the book is not about joy, it's about Jesus. And Paul is saying, as he said over toward the end of the book, that he accounts everything that he has ever accomplished or ever had as dung for the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, lady, do you know everything you need to know about Jesus? Do you know right now all that you need to know about God in order to please him? Do you know everything you need to know? Are you content, and can you just get by with what? I live to be 100 years old and go to church and study, and work hard. Even Billy Graham said, when they asked him, what do you want to hear when you get to heaven? He said, I want to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. And they said, are you going to hear it? I think it was Larry, what's his name? Crazy Larry. But he said, I'm not sure. If anybody could be sure, it would be Billy Graham. The point is, we've got to be learning. We're not going to know on this planet all there is to know about God. And once we were saved, we need to continue to grow until we be more like Christ. until the day he takes us home. Folks, 70 years is not very long. Mm-hmm. I'm 63. It's getting closer. You know, the Bible says if you got over 70, you've been blessed. But anyway, what are you doing? I hear people saying the reason that I got to, as I thought about, we've had some folks that came to church for a while, and then they quit coming, and then one of the members would see them at Walmart or somewhere, and that tell them we missed them, and ask them, and a couple of them have said that they've started going over to they've started going over to a church that has a new young pastor, because they can leave that church feeling good on Sunday, rather than feeling guilty or feeling down. That bothers me when I hear that, because we just preach the truth. But and the more I think about it, you know, I think about, well, maybe. But when you preach, the Word of God is to convict us of sin, to change us, to mold us to be like Jesus Christ. And if there's things in my life that need to be gotten rid of, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even division, soul and spirit, and bone and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And when the Holy Spirit goes to work in your life, it's going to hurt at times when you have to get rid of stuff. We're changing. What happens if you have a cancer in your body and you never do anything about it? Not going to worry about it. I'm not going to be. You're going to die. I mean, because there's cures. And it hurts to have surgery, but we do all that we can to live. But folks, and then you hear people make statements like when you try to talk to them about the Lord, they'll say, make a statement. And this one, a gentleman from Cheyenne, told me, he said, Larry, it's been the same for 2,000 years. There ain't much changed. What is there for me to talk to you about? I mean, we just don't know. But if you say that you believe, listen to what James, wouldn't be very popular today, because James said, we're going to be in Philippians, but James 2:18, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You ready for this one? 19, you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? You reckon anybody was offended when they read James's book there in that First Baptist Church, Jerusalem? I mean, that's and it's just the truth. But you can't have joy in your life. And that's Philippians is a church that was joyful. They got along together. The only problem that Paul addressed in Philippians is when he made the comment in chapter 4 verse 2 that I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Apparently they would had some kind of disagreement. That is the only time this church has to be reprimanded by or encouraged by the apostle to get rid of that and live in peace. This church lived in joy. This church lived in peace. This church loved Paul, and Paul loved this church. Just read the book. Just read the book. The more you study it. How did this church get started? Go read Acts chapter 16. You want to know the background of the church at Philippi? Go read Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are in Philippi. They are wanting to go to Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit, remember, wouldn't let them go down into Asia. They wanted to go up to Bithynia. They wouldn't let that happen, so they stop at Troas, and Paul has a dream. You remember that dream he had of the Macedonian that said, come over here and help us, and they go over to and end up in Philippi, and I'm sure they're looking for that man that's hungry for the gospel. And so they decide they're going to go out of town to pray, and they go down by the river, and what do they find? Some women down there praying, and a lady named Lydia, who is from Asia. I thought that was interesting, but she, Asia Minor, she, wealthy lady, she believed in God, she feared God, but Paul shared the gospel with her, and she got saved in her whole household, and they stayed there with them. And then after she was saved, they ran into that demon-possessed girl. You remember her? And She kept following them around. Even the demons recognized Jesus. We got our churches are full of people that don't have a clue who Jesus is. We've got his name on our mind, and we know how to say it. We know enough truth to convince somebody that we are saved. And I'm not going to say who is or not, but Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. And I will get to the point of this here in a minute, but she was walking around saying, "These men are preachers of the Most High God, servants of the Most High God, to tell you the way of salvation." And Paul just, I mean, it was true, but Paul got tired of her bugging him, so he just turned around and commanded that demon to leave that young lady, and that demon left that young lady. And then they get in trouble for that because them people were making money off of that poor girl. Doesn't that sound a lot like 2023? People getting rich off the misfortune of young girls and boys today. But anyway, then they go to jail. They have a prayer meeting at midnight. God shakes the prison. Earthquake breaks down the walls. The centurion wakes up, looks out, and he thinks everybody's gone, so he's going to kill himself. And Paul says, "Don't hurt yourself. We're still here. We haven't gone anywhere. We're here to tell you about Jesus." That ain't what he said, but that's why he stayed. He could have got up and ran. But that centurion come over there, and when he saw what had happened and what was going on, he said, he knew who they were there and what they were. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Well, go to the First Baptist Church and go talk to that." No, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And that word "believe" means to obey too. It doesn't just mean believe here. It means to obey. Go read John 3:36. But he was saved and all of his family. So I just, the Bible doesn't tell us, but, and I don't know for sure, but I would almost believe that Lydia and that centurion, Roman centurion that was watching them in prison, and possibly that young girl that was set free from that demon, I don't know why she wouldn't, were probably members of this church at Philippi as it got started. They met there in Lydia's house, remember? And it just grew from there. They just loved people, and they served people. And again, there's just nothing this Paul taught. Let me just read to you the first. But the point is, you cannot have joy in your life unless you are serving Christ. I didn't say unless you believe in Christ, because even James said that the demons believe.
Come on.
And they ain't happy. And if you, hell is full of people that said they believed, but Jesus said, remember, and I bet Jesus wasn't too popular with some people. Didn't he say one time, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you"? And they said, "We were preaching for you. We did miracles. We were doing, but yes, but you did not have a relationship with me. I never knew you." See, that's what it's about. It's about a relationship.
Come on.
But these folks at this church, they love Paul. Let me read these first 11 verses. Let's read these first 11 verses. "Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus." You notice he just said, what's a bondservant? A bondservant is somebody that is bound to somebody. They have absolutely no rights of their own. They're just there for no other reason than to serve you. They're bondservants. They don't claim their own rights, their own property. They just are there to serve their master. That's what Paul says he is. That's what Paul says Timothy is. And that's what the Bible's very clearly. We'll get to some verses where Jesus is teaching that. But that's what we're to be doing. And if we're going to have joy in our lives, it's going to be because we're serving Jesus. Not because we go to church. Now, you need to go to church. And don't let them hypocrites keep you out of church, because I'd rather live with them here than I would in heaven. But hopefully them hypocrites will get saved and start living for Jesus. I can be a hypocrite. And those hypocrites who say, "I'm not going to church because of them hypocrites," are hypocrites themselves, but they're just too blinded to see it. We're here to serve. But Paul is a bondservant of Christ. Why didn't he say, "I'm an apostle"? Because this church knew who Paul was. He did not have to defend his apostleship. They were loving him. They knew who he was. They believed him. So therefore, he just says, "Bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi including the overseers and deacons. You notice he mentions all the saints, all of the church members, all of those who belong to Christ before he meant the old, mentioned the preachers and deacons, the overseers and deacons. I just thought that was so neat that too many times today we have the idea that the preachers and deacons are more important than everybody else in the church. Paul mentions them last. We need to remember that. Grace to you. We're all, every born-again believer that is in that church is no better than anybody else, regardless of what your role is. That lady that cleans the church and nobody ever hears about, she's just as important as that pastor behind that pulpit. Every one of us, you need to remember that as you serve. And as we get a hold of this and realize this, I believe our churches will be more productive because there'll be more servants not worried about anything but pleasing Christ. Anything but pleasing Christ. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have that because they are saints. Does that mean they're perfect to all the saints? That don't mean we're perfect. It means that we're perfect in God's eyes because our sins have been washed away and we've been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Doesn't mean we're perfect. I'm far from perfect.
Come on.
But Jesus loves me, and he died for my sins, and I trust him. That's the only way we're going to have that grace. It's the favor of God, peace from God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of peace did Jesus say he left us? Not just peace like the world gives. He said, I leave my peace. He had peace, regardless of what happened. He knew what was coming. But we should know what's coming. And that a lot, knowing what's coming, because the Bible makes it clear, anybody who seeks to eat, Paul told Timothy, if you seek to live a godly life, you will suffer persecution. People aren't going to like you. I can tell you right now, if the world is happy with you, you're not right with God. And I say that because when you start living for Jesus and you have given him all that you have, just like Paul and them, when you give him all and all you care about is Jesus and other people coming to know him, the world's not going to like the way you look. They're not going to want to be around you. They're going to try to shut you up. Just look what's happening in the world today. I'm not saying that you need to go down the street trying to make everybody you meet on the street mad. But you do need to be going down the street praying. I hope everybody I meet today comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I don't know what's going on in that person's life, but they don't look very happy. And maybe I can just do something just say a word and let them know that, hey, somebody cares about you. Just stuff like that is going to get you in trouble. I've had people slam the door in my face when I tell them Jesus loves me. We know it's coming. Paul said in verse 3, I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your precipitation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ Jesus, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Can you tell from that Paul really loves these people at Philippi? I love those folks at Main Street. I love you guys. We don't go to the same church, but we have a love for each other because of Jesus Christ. It's that's the kind of love that we're to have for one another, to look out for one, to encourage one another, and exhort when and we can't do that when we're not having fellowship together. That's what fellowship means. That word participation, right there. But verse 6, can you quote verse 6 without looking at it? You know that verse. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. I don't know many Christians that don't know that verse. We love that verse. It is a good verse, but we remember, that's one we memorize. I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in Christ Jesus. I've used that to encourage people. And I get encouraged by that. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. That's awesome. But look at who he's saying that to. Who's he saying that to? He's talking to a bunch of church people who truly love each other. They truly love Paul, and they're truly serving each other. How do I know that? Look at this. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Every time he thinks about them, he thanks God, offering prayer with joy. Everything he ever, he doesn't mention having any regrets or having to get on that. Read the book of Galatians. Read the Corinthians. He had to get on them all the time. He had to defend his apostleship. But he's saying here, I thank my God in all remembrance you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. Every time I think of you, Paul says, I am filled with joy. I don't have to think about problems. I mean, I'm sure there was little stuff that we know, but isn't that what the church is supposed to look like? If you would, this first chapter of Philippians is a philosophy of the philosophy of Christian living. This should be our goal, to love one another like this. You know, Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and the Old Testament did, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Because what does that look like? Read the first chapter of Philippians. Oh, that every pastor in Elk City, around the world, but every pastor in Elk City could have this kind of joy in his heart, praying for his believer because they are witnessing and telling other people about Jesus. How do I know that? Folks, that in view of your, let me read verse 6 again, and then I want to back up and hopefully I can get this. I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That's the sanctification process. Once you get saved, you're justified. That's a one-time deal. Errors, tense, just you're done. You don't have to do it again. From that day till the day you die and go to be with Jesus is sanctification, and you're continuously growing. How long is your? What happens if I stay a baby all the time? Paul talked about that in Corinthians. You're just always drinking milk. You're just always needing somebody to feed you. You never grow up to go and be productive. You just always needing to be fed. You're just always whining like a baby. You need to grow up and be where we can eat meat. But as we grow up, to perfect you until the day of Christ Jesus. And the reason he is confident that God had begun this work in them is because back up to verse 4. I'm going to read 3. I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy. It's always with joy in every prayer for you all. He prayed for them all the time. And why was this so full of joy? In view of your participation in the gospel. That word precipitation is the same word as fellowship. It's koinonia. You've heard that word before. Koinonia. Look up the word koinonia. It doesn't just mean fellowship. When you think fellowship, what do you think about? Our church fellowships have gotten to be a lot like they're a lot like a business get together. You've been invited to something to share something, and you know, and you sit down and you do laugh, joke, talk about the food, and pat each other on the back, talk about how good you're doing, and just encourage one another, and that's okay. You know, that's not the fellowship that Paul is talking about here. That word koinonia means, is used for several different words, and I can't remember all of them. Now I left that little book at home that I had that note written in, but it means distribution. It means communication. It means cooperation. It means,
My translation uses the word partnership.
Yeah.
Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now.
Yep. Partnership. Yep, that's one of the words. Mm-hmm. That all comes with the partnership means you're working alongside Paul. What did Jesus say? Take my yoke upon you. That means to come along, so let Christ come alongside you and do what he does. Have his will and your will, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. I want you to show me where you want me to be walking with Christ, and that's what we're to be striving for. But in view of your participation in the gospel, what does that entail? Three things. I don't know if I can get. I can't kind of remember that second one. But let's how about spiritual communication? How often we get together and we just laugh and joke and have a good time, but we need to be having those spiritual conversations about Jesus. We need to be having Bible studies. We need to be digging into the Word. We need to be praying together for each other. We need to be encouraging one another. Forsake not the gathering of yourselves together as the manner of some, but encourage one another and exhort one another. And all the more as you see that day approaching. What day? The day of Christ Jesus. Where did I find that? Where did I read that? Hebrews 10:25. People tell me, I can be a Christian and not go to church. Yes, you can, but you can't be a good Christian and not go to church because you're still a baby needing milk. I'm not going up there then. Jesus said, you're just like a bunch of kids who said, I played the flute for you and you wouldn't dance. Jesus was calling them a bunch of babies. But anyway, we need to grow up, but participation, they were actively having spiritual conversations, not just with each other, but other people in the community, and the church continued to grow. Later in the scriptures, but even in the church fathers, do they ever have a bad word to say about the church at Philippi? Floated into and no problems. I mean, you don't hear of any other than those two ladies that Paul gently encouraged to love each other. Isn't that what we need to be doing? Love each other. But spiritual conversations. When was a, we don't have trouble trash talking with people. That was terrible, wasn't it? I mean, maybe we don't intend not maybe trash, but actually, if you think about it, anything that's not exalting Christ is trash because it's just.
Amen. You know, you were talking about yoking, and the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance about you don't yoke an ox with a donkey.
No.
You, whenever you're plowing a field, you yoke the oxes together.
Yep. Because they're equal in strength. But just say about the.
You can't yoke an ox with a donkey and expect the same outcome from when you would yoke an ox and an ox together to plow a field, because you're not going to get the same results.
No, because the ox is going to have to drag the donkey along and the plow, and he's going to give out quicker. That's like a lot of pastors today and church leaders and even people in the church who are wanting to work, and they're yoked together with a bunch of donkeys, and they're trying to see the church reach people for Jesus Christ. And not only are they trying to pull that plow of evangelism, but they're having to drag along all of these naysayers that's come along. I know that sounds kind of harsh, but isn't that true?
Yes.
What happens when we work together? We have a church like Philippi, James. We see we come alongside one another, we work together, but we have that spiritual conversation, spiritual discussion, spiritual. It grows. If we don't ever talk about Jesus, what percentage of folks, and I don't know what the statistics are today, but what percentage of people do you think in the church have never won anybody to Jesus Christ? It used to be 90-some percent. I bet it hasn't changed, that have never, ever shared Christ with somebody to see them come to know Jesus Christ. And somebody wisely said that you have not been discipled until you disciple. In other words, until you've won somebody to Christ, you're still not truly discipled the way that Christ intends for us to be discipled. He wants us to go have them conversations. And the second one just always gets away from me. But the third thing that happens in this kind of participation is that there's a sweet communion that happens in the church when people love each other and they're serving together and they're yoked together with Christ, all of them, and they're working side by side. They're loving one another. They're working through any difficulties and things that go on. That's just perfectly sweet communion, and we can do that if we'll seek it. Amen. But what kills it? Selfishness. Pride. There's always somebody in there that wants things to go my way. We just have to love on them and pray for them, but we need to make sure that each one of us are participating. Spiritual conversations, and then the service, sacrificial service, sacrificial giving, sacrificial participation. Being willing to get involved with the church and other things that the church is trying to do, even when I have to give up things that I want in my own, that I have planned, so that I can see that the church is fulfilling the mission of Christ. That's part of that koinonia. They are together in everything for Christ in the church. Do we see that in the church? Some churches. But you can't, and the reason Paul is able to say, I am confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, because he saw that God had begun a good work in these Philippians. They are participating in the gospel. They are having spiritual conversations with each other. They're always talking about Jesus, Bible studies, fellowship, fellowshipping together, praying together, having prayer meetings. You know what the least attended service of the church today is? The prayer meetings. Mm. It's sad doing those things. And this church is doing that, and that's why Paul can say that I know that God's going to do this. I'm confident that he's going to do this is because of your participation in the gospel. If you're not participating in the gospel, that promise is not yours. You cannot just be saved and go to heaven and not ever serve Christ. That's a dangerous thing to hope for. And that's surely not spirit-led. I mean, we'll talk about some things that Jesus said here. If you need to take a break.
Okay.